Michael Bisaro's A Wave and Waves performance on Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Clark Art Museum in Williamstown, Massachusetts is a rare, deep listening experience in which listeners are immersed in an ocean of sound. These colossal percussive waves are created by layers of imperceptibly soft sounds, everything from sandpaper on stone to seeds falling on grass. They give a textual landscape. It's a 74-minute work. It employs 100 performers. And the man at the helm of all of this is Matthew Gold. He is the artist in residence in percussion and contemporary music performance at Williams College and will be conducting Sunday's performance again at 1 p.m. at the Clark Art Institute in Williamstown. And it's a great pleasure to welcome Matthew Gold to the roundtable this morning. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks so much. And it's great to be here.
It's great to have you here. So, I mean, I think you get just in the second that we played of that, I think you get an idea of what you're doing here, given my short description a moment ago. Give us a broader sense of what ultimately this piece looks to accomplish, do you think?
Sure. You described it well, of course, and it's a really special piece, and it's a special kind of music. It takes place over the course of 74 minutes for 100 people playing percussion instruments, but these percussion instruments are unlike your conventional instruments. It's rice falling into bowls and leaves being stirred and all these very delicate sounds that all together make up these waves of sound. The first part is one giant wave that takes place over the course of 35 minutes, excuse me. The second part is another 35 minutes with 100 overlapping waves. And it's something that's really immersive. For the listener, you get to be inside of it, to be inside of this incredibly detailed sound, and to, experience time and sound in a different way.
So when we say wave, we obviously think in the oceanic sense.
Sure.
But for this, in a musical sense of a wave, it comes, it crests, and then diminishes.
Sure. Yes. The first part does that, and then the second part has 100 of these. So you can imagine it like in the first part, as a listener, you're listening at a distance, and you hear this sort of general roar, but it's far away. And then in the second part, it's like being inside of it and having each one lap over you. But again, like, it's rather like listening to the very detailed aspects of sound. Sounds we hear in nature, sounds we hear in everyday life, and being inside of it and hearing, like, just all the detail that happens there.
How do you conduct somebody putting seeds into a glass?
Sure. One doesn't really conduct it. These are things like these sounds have their own life, their own way of working. You can't really control them. Each player activates their sound, but then it takes on its own life. So we all have a stopwatch, and the piece is organized by time. And over the course of it, each of your entrances, each of your actions is determined by a timing that corresponds to a clock.
So it's interesting. It becomes almost more of a sense of organization than it does of conducting, although you are the person that is seeing that everything goes on schedule.
Once it starts, then it runs on its own. It takes its own course. I just start it. I let everybody know when to start the clock, and then from there, it's up to them.
So how many times have you overseen this performance of this?
This will be my first time with this piece. Last year at the Clark, we did another work of Michael Pizarro's called Rice Fall, which is very similar. And as the title suggests, it involves falling rice falling at different rates onto different resonant objects, and again, organized according to time. And so this is a much larger version of something similar to that.
You are, as I mentioned, the artist in residence percussion in percussion and contemporary music at Williams College. What does artist in residence in this sense mean and allow you to give you the opportunity to do?
Sure. Well, the Williams Music Department is a really interesting place with incredible students and incredible faculty and many wonderful things going on. And it gives me the chance to, I work with percussionists and the percussion ensemble, as well as deal with a lot of the issues in contemporary music, contemporary classical music, living composers, new sounds, new practices, new ways of making music. And I get to both introduce that to students and to explore it with them. Lead them into areas that they might not be able to go into otherwise.
When we talk about the performance at the Clark on Sunday, my sense is, or my understanding is, really two separate performances, right?
Sure.
Okay, so how does that work?
So there's a concert at 1 featuring, or exclusively featuring the Pizarro, and then at 4:30 we have what in this context, it's a more conventional percussion concert. My percussion group from New York, Talajan, which will be, in part leading the Pizarro performance, will do its own sextet concert in the Conforti Pavilion at the Clark. And this will be a one-hour concert of works for percussion, all spatial pieces with the players set up around the audience. So again, it'll be really immersive, but a very different experience. And in addition to instruments like marimba and vibraphone and drums and cymbals, there are a lot of instruments that are found sounds, like what you find in the Pizarro. There are 36 wooden planks, 12, I believe, flower pots, things like that. And we make sounds as percussionists with these kind of things, and we build our music from that.
Is it your feeling that anything that produces a sound is open to use within a percussion sense?
Absolutely. And for me, that's really the joy of percussion. When I'm doing a work like the Pizarro, where we're listening to sounds that we don't usually listen to that way, it recalibrates my ears. And I go out into, we have a rehearsal, and then I go outside, and my ears are just more finely tuned to everything around me. And everything seems like it could be an instrument. And, sometimes the annoyance of those around me, I just wander off and pick up some leaves or rocks or, whatever's around. And I'm like, oh, I wonder what this does. But I feel like that's the key attitude of a percussionist. You find a thing and you say, I wonder what I can do with this. And it doesn't always work, but often you find something really special.
You talk about the immersive sense of these pieces. So if I am sitting here at the left-hand side in the back and you are sitting there in the front to the right, will we have the same experience?
It's a great question. And the answer is, in a way, no. Each experience of it is subjective. But we're inviting the audience to choose how they relate to it. I should say that the intention of this performance was to do it outside on the terrace, but considering what the weather's looking like for Sunday, we will likely be moving it inside to the auditorium.
We may have snow.
We may. But either way, the show goes on, and wherever it is...
Although cool sounds.
For sure, yeah. But, yes, not always audience or performer-friendly.
No.
But the audience will be invited to sit amongst the players, to choose a spot, to walk around, to reorient themselves, to sit at a distance, and experience it in any number of different ways.
So I understand, of course, any art could be, it's in the eye of the beholder and the person who is hearing it and listening to it or watching it or seeing it or whatever the case may be. For aurally, A-U-R, aurally, is it the same though? If you were to record it here and then record it there, would that sound similar, or would there be different effects?
There'd be different effects. Every person's experience of it will be subjective, and again, that's part of what's, I think, really interesting about it. You can go into it and you can explore it. It's like as if you could walk into a sound and move around in it and explore it.
So you can move around.
For sure. The audience can change their position. They could sit in one place. They could go someplace else. A listener could sit at a distance and hear it kind of like as a collective sound, or they could go inside and listen to detail. And they could change that, after 10 minutes.
Matthew, the first question that I thought of as you were describing that is as people move around, that they could get in the way.
Well, that's an issue, but I'm not going to worry about it.
I want has that ever been an issue?
Not that I've really experienced.
Oh, good.
I think that we want people to be inside of this, and there's a risk to that, but it should be open and inviting. This is music that invites people in to be really deeply a part of it.
And you want them to be in awe.
Yeah, I want them to experience what they experience. It can be a thing of awe. It can be a sense of timelessness. 74 minutes can go by. One of the things the composer talks about is how in these extended duration things, time becomes like space, so that you no longer experience it as something passing, but something that you can move in. So I don't want to dictate the listener's experience, but I hope in some way they feel different afterwards.
Michael Pizarro's A Wave and Waves performance takes place on Sunday at 1 p.m. at the Clark Art Museum in Williamstown, Massachusetts, with the Talajan performance starting at 4:30. Links to more information will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Matthew Gold, have a beautiful performance. Thank you so much for describing it to us this morning.
Thank you so much for having me.
A great pleasure as always. Thank you very much. Again, you can find out more by going to wamc.org/roundtable.